It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
Welcome to Game of Roses. I'm Lizzie Pace. Pace Case.
I'm Bachelor Clues. And this week we have something very special for you. What we're going to do is lay out our 10 nominees for the first ever Bachelor Hall of Fame. We're going to have you guys vote on your top three, and those top three players are going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame in our next episode.
The way that we will vote is we're both going to present our top five female, top five male, and then the ones that we differ on, we will debate until we come to a consensus of the top 10 players, and then we will have you vote.
And of course, this debate will be based in rational fact and statistics from our beloved game.
And emotions.
What are those?
So the way that you will vote is we're going to post the top 10 on Instagram, and then you will comment your top three on the Instagram post, and we will tally those.
And this post will be on the Game of Roses
at
Instagram
Game
account.
Of Roses, GameOfRoses on Instagram.
So don't vote on Pace Case. And don't vote on Bachelor Clues. Only
those
vote.
Those votes won't be counted.
They won't be counted. They will be derided and then erased. Once again, before we get started, thanks to everybody who listens to this podcast. It is a labor of love and hate for each of us as we force ourselves to sit in these chairs and talk about this thing that is a cancer eating away at each of us until we will both slowly die from its poison.
Yep, we love our fans.
So let's begin it. You wanted to do the ladies first, right?
We would like to do the ladies first because I believe we had the most consensus on the ladies.
These are the first nominees for the first ever induction to the Bachelor Hall of Fame.
The official Hall of Fame.
This is the official Bachelor Player Hall of Fame, the first induction ceremony. This is what goes down in history. I feel excited. I feel like we are doing something historic for our beloved game here.
I think this is hugely important, especially to give us perspective on the new season, the rising players, who are going to be the stars, to look back and see who have been the best players of this game in its totality. Our first nominee that we agreed upon is Caitlin Bristowe. Did we agree on this one?
Yes.
Yes.
Off to a great start.
She was on the 19th season of The Bachelor and was the lead on the 11th season of The Bachelorette.
But let's get a little more specific. 19th season of The Bachelor, she suffered through almost an entire season with one of the most boring bachelors that ever walked the face of the planet, Chris Soules, a.k.a. the Madman Murderer. And she placed third on his seasons. She made it almost to the end.
She's also our first non-American bachelorette. She's Canadian. She has 1.7 million Instagram followers. Not bad for someone who was in a very early era of the game. And in my opinion, she kind of broke the mold on Instagram. She started her podcast, which is extremely popular. It's in one of the top podcasts pretty consistently.
Not only that, she's done Broadway. She has a scrunchie line. She has wine that she's made. All of these things have been fantastically successful for her. But please don't forget her place in the game. Post-game is a different thing, and yes, she's been successful, but the things that really are interesting about her that she did in-game were when she became Bachelorette, she had to go head-to-head in a vote against Britt Nielsen. Do you remember this?
Yes. This is the first time they ever did this on the show.
First and only time. They called up both her and Britt, another player from the prior season, and said, which of you is going to be the Bachelorette? They had to go before the men that season, the players, and the players voted on which girl they wanted to be the Bachelorette. And she won that vote, sending Britt packing to a life of obscurity, relatively unknown in Instagram at this point. And she could have had a million followers and the scrunchie line and all the other stuff, but she didn't. It was Caitlin who shone brightest that day. And then, please don't forget, within our beloved game. She fucked outside of fantasy seats. Now we're going to get to who she fucked.
First time ever.
First time ever. And of course, the player who was able to pull that off had something to do with it as well. But she allowed it to be done. It was ultimately her choice. And as a result, she kind of broke the game. She broke the mold of it a little bit. And from that time forward, sex was seen differently in our beloved game. And that, to me, is a huge piece of why I'm submitting her as one of my nominees for the Hall of Fame.
At the same time, though, people haven't fucked outside of fantasy suites since then. But she's the only one.
Absolutely. But the stigma is gone from it enough.
Right.
That I think without that, we don't have things like the Boom Boom Room on Bachelor in Paradise. I think this notion of the sacredness of the sexual act as only being able to be performed within the ceremony of fantasy suites, that was gone with Caitlyn. She said it was okay to fuck, and she even told them as much when there was some tittering of slut shaming about to happen on that season. She was basically like, fuck you, I do what I want.
She also was the first person to allow a player to enter mid-game. Vial didn't come in until week 4.
Please don't bring his name up just yet. We'll get to him. But yeah, I agree. She did a lot of kind of groundbreaking things within the game and then went on to massive success after it. And of course, in the Instagram era, she has, as you said, 1.7 million followers.
She got engaged to Sean Booth. They dated for 3 years and just ended their relationship. And now she's dating another person from the Bachelor pool.
Even when you're out of the game, you're always playing, as we know. The secondary tier is dating within the Instagram pool of players once you've aged out of actual competition.
It's a way to stay relevant.
On to our second nominee for the ladies, Hannah B., our most recent bachelorette.
Hannah B.
2.5 million followers.
Most of any woman in Bachelor Nation.
She placed 7th on Colton's season. She was the first bachelorette to not have placed in the top 4 in the history of our beloved game.
The only other person who's done something like that would be Juan Pablo, right?
I'm not sure what he placed, but I'm talking about bachelorettes specifically. Every other bachelorette has come from the top four. She was number 7.
That in itself is Hall of Fame worthy. What do you think did it for her?
There are two things that she represents as a modern player in the game that are, at this point, kind of crucial, especially for women. Pageant queen and Christian.
See, I would argue that it's more of like she represents like the every woman type thing. She was like relatable and like goofy Hannah Beast type thing, like awkward. I feel like they were like, this is how we're going to make her seem more real.
Maybe that is a part of it. To me, it's about the direction the game is taking and how she's kind of a prototypical player in it now. Mm. That they do want pageant queens. They do want these ultra-Christian, southern kind of maniacs. And she's both of those things.
She also went on Dancing with the Stars and won.
She's only the second bachelorette in history to be on Dancing with the Stars.
Who else?
Trista Sutter was the first.
Mm.
Which we'll get to. But yeah, she's Miss Alabama. She had a Bachelor in Paradise appearance. She had, as we see, she's going to have an appearance in the next Bachelor. The Dancing with the Stars. She's very much in the ABC family. She's very much doing what the producers tell her to do.
Exactly.
And that makes her kind of a very good player, at least from the perspective of the show itself, from the game itself.
Yeah, she stopped in on Bachelor in Paradise to weigh in on Demi's storyline. Yeah, she's doing the Bachelor family routine.
But just beyond that, the overarching reason that I think she should be in the Hall of Fame is her Instagram following. She is the most popular bachelorette who has ever lived. And I don't know if that is indicative of something that's just going to happen every time now. I don't think we've seen the top of Instagram growth yet, but I don't know if we're going to see another bachelorette with... We could potentially see the next bachelorette having fewer followers than her.
Wow.
I think. I think she has reached a kind of pinnacle, and time will tell, but certainly no other bachelorette is approaching those numbers.
And there's even talks of her possibly being the next bachelorette again. She was so slighted by Jed.
You mean by the producers of the TV show who knew Jed was dating another woman and never told her about it for an entire season?
Absolutely.
So that's all of our reasoning for Hannah.
Yes.
She's definitely worthy to be in these top 5. Moving on to another one we agreed on, Trista Sutter. the first bachelorette of all time. She is weighing in at 279,000 Instagram followers, the lowest number of any of the bachelorettes that we're going to be talking about.
But today, a very high number for someone whose era was so before Instagram.
So before Instagram. In fact, she was second place on the first season of The Bachelor to Alex Michelle, a man who does not have an Instagram account at all. She was his second place. And then in her season of The Bachelorette, she picked a guy named Ryan Sutter, and she got ABC to pay them $1 million to televise their wedding. She was a baller before any of this shit was even a game. She was getting money out of that company and saying, I am the fucking star.
And $1 million back then was like $100 million now, if I'm doing that math correctly.
I think you're doing it exactly incorrectly. I think it was maybe like $1.1 million. It wasn't that long ago.
She also has probably had the most appearances of any previous bachelorette when they come back on the season. She's always in the reunion episodes. They bring her out. They bring out her kids. They're like the early Jaden Tanner.
She's kind of the matriarch, I would say, of the entire Bachelor franchise. And then post-Bachelor, she did a Kentucky Fried Chicken commercial, a Brad Paisley music video. She was on Fear Factor, Dancing with the Stars, Marriage Boot Camp. She has two kids. She was in it for TRR.
She was the first person from the franchise to stay with their spouse and have children. So her children are the oldest Bachelor Nation children.
They will have first opportunity to become bachelors and bachelorettes themselves.
Yes.
Which will be fascinating. I think that will definitely happen. So that's Trista, our first bachelorette. Definitely deserving to be in the conversation. Mm-hmm. Next, we have another one that we agreed on. Ashley Iaconetti.
Here's the thing about Ashley. Never was the bachelorette. She's the only person in my list who is never the bachelorette. But I feel that she did something that no other player has done. She became an icon of the show. Everyone got behind her. She had memeable tears. Her love story was sad and just continued on and on through multiple seasons of the show. She finally wore down Jared. And now they make Instagram commercials together and got married.
I agree with everything you've said. Let me give you some hard numbers.
Ashley
Iaconetti, as you said, never the bachelorette. She has 1.1 million Instagram followers. And this is pre-current era. She was retired from play of the game about a year before the Instagram thing really fucking kicked into high gear, which is what we're seeing now. She finished ninth place on Chris Soule's season.
Terrible.
Ninth place. Dismal.
She was on a 2-on-1.
She was presented as the fool. She was a virgin that was made fun of constantly. She cried, made fun of constantly. She was almost like a Waboom character of her season.
Yeah, she was left in the desert with the widow, Kelsey, on their 2-on-1.
How could we ever forget?
Public embarrassment.
Public embarrassment. The producers seemed to tear her down and just use her as cheap comedic entertainment through the entire season, and somehow she turned that into an empire. She was on season 2 and 3 of Bachelor in Paradise. One of those seasons, she appeared with her sister, brought her family member in, tried to spread the fame. I appreciate that. She dated Wells Adams briefly. That could have been a significant power play. But instead, like you said, she latched her trailer onto Jared Heibaum and started this long game of courtship with him. She was the first winner of Winter Games, ultimately breaking Jared down over a series of literal years, befriending him, slowly leaking the idea to him that, hey, maybe we could get married and be an Instagram couple. And he warmed to the idea enough that, in fact, it has now been done. They are married.
The thing about Ashley is she was clearly never interested seriously in anyone except Jared. Since she locked eyes on him, she was like, this is the prize. She dated Kevin Went on Winter Games, and they left the show as a couple. And that is the thing that spurred Jared to be like, oh, actually, that's my person.
Yeah, she wielded jealousy.
And she immediately dumped him.
Perfectly. And now, post-game, she's a correspondent for Access Hollywood. She's a contributor to Cosmo. She does a podcast with Ben Higgins. attaching herself to someone else who's powerful within mm-hmm. the world. And she has another successful podcast with an ex-Bachelor producer. So she's really firing on all cylinders, constantly pumping out social media.
She also brought on our first player who was not in the regular season onto Bachelor in Paradise. She brought her sister on mm-hmm. and they became a pair, which strategically helped them because people would give them the rose because they could save two with one.
Yeah, I think she's a valid addition to our top five. And now we come to a point where Pace Case and I disagreed. Shocking. And we're going to have a debate. Just to let you know, there are more disagreements to come in this list. But right now, let's talk about who was your final selection for our top five women.
I am shocked that this is even a debate. Because for my selection, this person, I think she was the first person to get serious, serious Instagram numbers when she became The Bachelorette. And I'm talking about JoJo Fletcher.
Okay.
JoJo has 2.2 million followers. That is second only to Hannah B. In my opinion, she broke the mold on Instagram. She now hosts a show called Cash Pad with her pick, A-Ro Bro, Jordan Rogers. They're a power couple hosting a show together. I mean, JoJo, to me, she's like more purposeful than Hannah Brown. But Hannah came after, and I feel like that's why she has higher numbers. But JoJo blows everyone else out of the water. When people are like, who were the best bachelorettes of all time? I think they think Caitlyn. I think they think JoJo.
I'm not saying JoJo couldn't be in the Hall of Fame eventually. In the inaugural class, though, I feel like JoJo just was there, inert. I don't remember much about her. She seemed to have like kind of a dismal personality. And of course, picking A-Ro Bro, not great.
She picked the richest, most famous person on her season. Why is that not a good play?
I'm not saying it was a bad play. Look, she did fine. She was a great bachelor, and you're right. Her numbers are hard to argue with. For me, I had someone else that I thought was a better choice for my inaugural top five. JoJo may be in my next series when we do this again, when there's another inauguration of the Hall of Fame next year, a year from now. Maybe she'll be on my list. But for this year, the person I'm putting up against your JoJo is one Demi Burnett. I think you'll remember her. She finished, again, ninth place on Colton's season.
That doesn't necessarily make her a better player.
Motherfucker, she finished ninth place. And she has 1.4 million followers. She was not a bachelorette.
So about half of JoJo's.
Right. And about half as much screen time as well. Yet the producers love her. She played the game so expertly that she became an investigator on Hannah's season. You'll remember. They brought her in to do comedy.
Ah, yes. Who can forget the famous investigation?
She, I think, has the best season of any player in BIP history. I don't think anyone comes close.
That I wouldn't argue with.
She turned an entire season into her show. She had the first ever bisexual relationship, which was, as we know now, 100% orchestrated. That was all play. None of it was real. And now she's a fixture in the Bachelor world. I think we're going to see her again. I think she's going to be on BIP next season. I just can't.
Yeah, I just feel like that's recency bias. I mean, Demi is an amazing player for sure, but is she going to keep coming back with the winners of previous seasons like JoJo?
She already has befriended Nick Viall in a way that will make her immortal in the fucking game if she chooses to. Also befriended Hannah Brown in the same way. If Hannah becomes the next Bachelorette, as you say is possible, you don't think Demi's going to be on that fucking season? She's going to be back in that van doing more investigations. They will bring her back to VIP. I could see her taking over for Wells as the bartender. Sky's the limit for what she is capable of doing. And I'm saying her time in the game maybe is not over. I don't know. We can't know that at this point. But what she's already done in such a short amount of time is unprecedented. I've never seen anything like that on BIP, where the entire season became only about her.
I mean, I would argue that Ashley I made all of her Paradise seasons about her as well. I don't want to slam Demi. I think she's an amazing player, but JoJo, 2.2 million.
If we're just going on Instagram followers, then why don't we just rank the top 10 Instagram numbers and have that be the day?
So you're arguing emotions and I'm arguing numbers now.
No, I'm arguing that there are other things within the game that a player can do to make them worthy of a Hall of Fame induction beyond just the number of Instagram followers they accrue. That definitely is a part of it. I don't think anybody on my list has under a million except some of the first era players, Trista, Alex Michelle we'll get to in a moment. Certainly that's a measure of good play, but not the only one. So what do? We're at an impasse. Who gets their selection in?
You have to take on one of mine later and I'll give you Demi.
Okay. So great. Demi is in. So our five.
Give me Sean Lowe.
Well, we'll have the debates. We'll have the debates. But for right now.
I don't feel strong. I don't feel like I need to help JoJo in any way. JoJo's fine. She is a basic queen.
All right. So our five women then to be voted upon by our listeners are yes. Caitlin Bristow, Hannah Brown, Demi Burnett, Trista Sutter, and Ashley Iaconetti.
Yeah.
So just keep those in your mind. We're going to mention them again towards the end. But those are going to be the five women. We're now going to add five men to this list. And then what we want you guys to do is vote on your top three people overall out of those 10. So next up.
Moving on to the men.
Let's begin where we know it must. This person's going to be in the fucking Hall of Fame.
This person is a white man. They all are. It turns out. Here are the top five white men.
Yeah, basically. But I mean, look, we know the first one can only be Nick Viall, the greatest who ever played the fucking game. Nick Viall, in case you didn't know, was the team captain at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee track star. He set a school record for the 3,200-meter relay. This is where competition was born in this man.
Oh my God.
Not only was he winning races, he was fucking demolishing people. He set a fucking school record. And that's when he knew I got
in
a win.
High school?
This was in college, University of Wisconsin. Mm. But that will to win was strong in him, even then, even as a young man. So strong that Nick Viall, in his first season as a player on The Bachelorette, in Andy Dorfman's season, guess what he won on night one? The fucking Fimp Rose. Nick Viall is a First Impression Rose recipient.
I gotta admit, I did not remember that. He was a Fimp Rose.
You didn't remember that? I remember every play he's ever fucking made. That's not true. I looked all this up. But nonetheless, it is true. He did win the Fimp Rose. Andy Dorfman gave it to him. And he wound up finishing, of course, second place, as we know, in that season. And he uttered one of the most famous lines in Bachelor history after the final rose. How could you make love to me if you weren't in love with me? He used slut shaming expertly to create himself as the victim. And of course, that paid off. As he continued in the game, he kind of pioneered the direct message Instagram strategy when he kept in contact with Caitlin Bristow, who he met at a bachelor party, talked to her off the show, and then once her season of Bachelorette started, he unprecedentedly crashed the fucking season. In episode 4, he came into Caitlin Bristow's season and said, "Hey, we've been talking on Instagram. I feel like there's something there. I want to explore that. I understand if it's too much. It's obviously your choice," he kept telling her. "But if you want me around, I'd be happy to come on your season." And he fucking manipulated her left and right, and he got into that fucking season. Came in as a villain, and what happened? Fucked her immediately. This is what we were talking about in Caitlin's recap. Nick was part of that. She allowed it.
The
certainly.
Greatest fuck of our show. Arguably.
It was the greatest sexual play that's ever been done in the game.
Yes.
And of course, it takes two to tango. Caitlin is a part of that play as well. But Nick Viall, I think, deserves some of the credit here. Similar to how Caitlin did it, he broke open the possibility to fuck outside of fantasy suites. But more than that, because he was a player in the player pool and not the Bachelorette like Caitlin, she had really no repercussion in terms of like dealing with the guys. They could have been pissed, but still, they're on that show to win her, so they have to be okay with it. But Nick, he suffered the ire of every one of those motherfuckers, including Sean Booth, who ultimately won that season. But Nick again
plays
second.
Dramatic tension all the way till the last episode. Those two were yelling at each other.
So he won second place in back-to-back seasons of The Bachelorette. Don't think we're ever going to see that again.
Never. And was on how many Paradise seasons?
One season of Bachelor in Paradise where he made it to the end with Jen Saviano.
In my mind, he was on 3 seasons of Bachelor in Paradise.
Well, you might remember he also went on a one-on-one date that ended with some making out with Pizza Mom Amanda Stanton.
Pizza Mom, as everyone remembers
who
her.
Did not make our list today, but she will be in the Hall of Fame. Mark my fucking words, eventually. She's one of the strongest players that ever lived.
Amanda Stanton was in my honorable mentions.
Then he became the fucking Bachelor. So, back-to-back, Bachelorette second place finishes. Whole season of Bachelor in Paradise. Then he becomes the fucking Bachelor. Unprecedented. We'll never see it again. Then he was on Dancing with the Stars. He has now a fucking lucrative acting career. He was in Christmas Cruise, a Lifetime movie with Vivica Fox. He was on an episode of Speechless for ABC. He was on an episode of Teachers, TV Land. He was on an episode of General Hospital. He, of course, has been in Halo Top commercials. Fucking genius work in those. And he's about to be in another movie right now. And he continues to remain relevant after retirement. He's got an insanely successful podcast. It's hard to listen to, but a lot of people apparently do. And he befriended Demi. He's always weighing in on the drama of Bachelor, and he is seen as kind of the overwatching god of the game. Whenever something happens within the game or there's some drama on Instagram or any social media about it, fucking Us Weekly is going straight to him to see what he's saying about it, and they're writing articles about it. He has constant relevance.
And even though he hasn't been successful in his relationships, he's been playing up this character of the person who can never find love, as he is a sad sack in all the Halo Top commercials, etc.
And he's played it up to 1.1 million followers. That felt good.
Bachelor Quiz has the biggest smile I've ever seen. Like, he just giddy really little schoolgirl.
Look, the vote's
I know.
Up to
how
you.
Are we going to continue?
Listening audience, the
they're
vote
gonna
is.
They're
going
to vote for him to make you happy. I just know it.
Don't make me happy. I'm not getting inducted to the fucking Hall of Fame. It's Nick Viall. Look, you can vote any way you like. That's part
but
of why we're
to
doing
vote
this.
For Nick.
You don't have to, but I think what I've just said is a very strong case in his favor.
It is. He has probably the most screen time of any man on the show, except for one of my people coming up.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You have somebody who has more screen time than
mm-hmm.
him? All right, we'll have to get to that. The next person on whom we both agree, and this is the last male player that we will agree upon, is Tyler Cameron.
Hard to disagree with this. I mean, Tyler skyrocketed on Instagram.
He has 2.2 million followers currently.
Almost as much as Hannah B. Dated Gigi Hadid, an international supermodel, which is the most famous person that anyone from this show has ever dated after coming off the show. Yeah, just like crazy amounts of support from Bachelor Nation. Would have been the next Bachelor if he wasn't already dating a supermodel.
He rejected the offer. He finished second place on Hannah's season, playing a kind of feminist ally strategy through the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
Anything Hannah did, that's her choice, and you got to get on board with that. He would shout down guys who didn't like what she was doing.
He's constantly posting like supportive Hannah B messages on Instagram.
Perfect
he's
strategy for our
it.
Times. Perfect strategy yes. for our times.
But in a like, he's a feminist, but it's not in an aggressive way. He's like a casual feminist.
Yeah, he's still
that's
a
amenable.
Cool dude.
He still might vote for Trump. You don't know.
We've never quite seen in our beloved game someone take their position as a player in a single season and go to 2.2 million followers. I mean, he even eclipses most Bachelor numbers.
Yes.
I think the only person...
I think he's higher than any Bachelor.
How many does Colton have?
2 million.
Wow.
More than Colton.
He's got the most of any male player.
Yeah.
That is fucking impressive.
Yeah.
Well, I know earlier I said Instagram numbers aren't everything, but that's a pretty big fucking number for dudes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, god
yeah.
damn.
The dudes definitely generally have lower numbers than the women.
Okay, well, those are our only two that we agreed upon. We now have
yes.
three apiece that are completely different from one another.
Mm-hmm.
Shall we begin the debate?
Yes, we shall.
Begin.
I'm going to start with a player who... I can't believe you didn't put down, who has had the most screen time of any man on this show. And that person is Brad Womack.
Has he really?
He was The Bachelor 2 seasons in a row.
Okay.
That's the most screen time.
No, it isn't. Was he on Bachelor in Paradise?
No.
Was he on... Nick Viall had 2 seasons?
He is listed first on IMDb on the show The Bachelor. Brad Womack.
Yeah, two times Bachelor.
Twice.
I'll grant you. That's impressive and maybe Hall of Fame worthy. Initial ballot. Mm.
And in season 11, he did something that no other Bachelor has ever done. He rejected both the final two contestants.
But is that a good play?
It's crazy.
I guess eventually it got him another Bachelorhood.
It did get him another Bachelor. I mean, I don't know if that was on purpose, but can't argue with the results.
How many no one Instagram else has followers gotten, does he have?
Womack doesn't have a Twitter or Instagram. He's been pretty under the radar since his journeys for love.
Well, I hear you. I see you. I appreciate your offering. If I may, uh-huh. If we're talking about possible candidates and you're using quantity of play as a measuring stick, I would offer, instead of Brad Womack on our inaugural offering, what about Chris Bukowski? This is someone who does have... Chris Bukowski, you know exactly.
This is the most shocking person that you put on your list. Chris Bukowski? No one knows who that is.
He has 285,000 Instagram followers. No one knows who that is. He was just on a very successful run of Bachelor in Paradise. But let me tell you this. You're talking about a guy who's Bachelor twice. You want to talk about the most appearances in all different areas of play in our beloved game. That is Chris Bukowski.
He wasn't the star.
He was on The Bachelorette. He was runner-up on Bachelor Pad. He tried to crash Andy Dorfman's season, but she said no. But he did get an appearance in that season. Vial clearly was watching this and being like, huh, I see what he's trying to do there. Not quite right, but let me try and do it next season.
He was on Bachelor in Paradise. No one even recognized him on Bachelor in Paradise. They were like, who?
He was on Bachelor in Paradise season 1, 2, and 6. He's got more seasons than anyone in the history of our beloved game. The greatest journeyman who has ever lived. I don't think we're going to see that many appearances by anyone.
The journeyman. I beg to differ. We see more appearances from my next person, who is Sean Lowe.
Now what?
Sean Lowe has been in a tie with Brad Womack for the most appearances on The Bachelor. Because they bring him back every single season, Sean Lowe is the prototypical Bachelor, often voted America's favorite Bachelor. He's, I think, the first person to ever marry the person that he picked, Catherine.
First guy, you mean?
Yeah.
Is that possible?
The Amazon page for his book says that is a fact.
Okay, I'll take it then.
Yes, he's a religious zealot, but he also sells $2,200 couches now. But I'm saying he's been on more seasons than Chris Bukowski. Way more people know who Sean Lowe is than Chris Bukowski. Oh my God.
But is that all we're going for? Name recognition? What I'm looking at is play within the game. All of these things must be taken into account. It's not the greatest of all time. It's the Hall of Fame. These are the players who mean something to the game.
He is the person who picked the best wife for him. No one else stayed with their partner.
I mean, again, look. Yes, he should probably be in the Hall of Fame. On the first year, did he revolutionize the game?
He didn't revolutionize the game, but he made it, I would say he legitimized the game. He made it seem like he was actually for TRR. Well, at least this is the impression of him, is that everyone thinks he's for TRR. And he has a beautiful family and a couple kids, and he's brought back every season to be like, look, Sean and Catherine. Mm-hmm. They do it all the time.
Fair enough. These are all arguments to be had. So that's three of the players we disagree on. We still have three more. So in response to your Sean.
Yes.
I would say Alex Michelle. We discussed him on our last podcast. The first Bachelor. Zero Instagram followers. Really, truly in it for TRR. Without this man, there is no beloved game. He is the first Bachelor. He is the one who set the tone for the entire show. He had to put the whole franchise on his back, though.
I'll say the same thing for Chris Bukowski. No one knows who that is. Not Hall of Fame worthy.
But no one knows who that is. It's just because of time passage. If you look at other professional sports, it's like they induct people into their Hall of Fames who played in the first year of the sport. Nobody knows who the fuck Honus Wagner is. He's in the Baseball Hall of Fame. You know? to me, that's Alex Michelle. The people who, and Trista to some degree.
These Trista, people, absolutely. They have brought her back on every season. They hold her up as a beacon, just like Sean Lowe.
I agree, but these people built the game. You have to honor that.
I think that they built the game more than Alex Michelle built the game. Alex Michelle didn't end up with his person. No one watched.
Without Alex Michelle, there is no Trista Sutter. She finished second place on his season. She achieved fame through his season.
Maybe she carried the show.
Maybe. But wouldn't have had the opportunity were it not for Alex Michelle being the bachelor. However she played her version of the game, she had to play it against him. I'm just saying, I think he's deserving. I think the first bachelor and bachelorette should be inducted in the first ceremony. That's I feel that to be true. I feel that it is an honor they deserve.
The game has evolved, and there are players that everyone thinks of as your prototypical bachelor. The people that the franchise goes back to over and over again. To me, they are the ones who played the game well. They are the ones who represent the game. I don't think Alex Michelle represents the game.
But I don't think we're necessarily looking totally at who just represents the game. We're looking at the broad history of the game, every component of it, and what were the meaningful aspects. Who contributed to the game? To say the first Bachelor didn't contribute to the game is insane.
Not didn't contribute. And I will give you that I believe he ranks higher than Chris Bukowski.
As do I.
I can't even believe it. You said Chris Bukowski above, who are my other honorable mentions? You said Chris Bukowski above Wells?
No, he's
above
my next
Jake Pavelka?
Next choice. Yes.
Above Ben Higgins?
Yes.
That's shocking.
Because his survival rate within the game is astounding to me. The amount of appearances he's had on all these different shows, astounding to me. Whatever you can say about his play within the game, his play versus the producers is expert. We've never seen anything like that. He's getting those fuckers to bring him back again and again and again and again. We may see him yet more. Nobody can do that. That's a very specific and special skill that I don't think we've seen from any other player.
I would say that Ashley I did that and also is memorable to Bachelor Nation. I think Chris Bukowski versus Ashley I, it's like,
That's not a debate we're having, though.
I know, but it's like Ashley I,
bringing up shit,
Hall
though.
Of Fame, Chris Bukowski, look, no.
Look, we're having the debate. Maybe he won't make it onto the ballot. He's one of the people up for debate. Right now, we're talking about Alex Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
And he's on my list of five. He's not on yours. Yeah. I am simply saying why I think he deserves to be in the first inaugural team of Hall of Fame players.
I don't think anyone will vote for him.
Maybe not, but I'm just arguing that we give them that opportunity. So, Alex Michelle was one of my other picks. Who was your last one? Your last
guy? My last pick. He has the second most Instagram followers of any man who has been on the show, and that is Colton Underwood with a cool 2 mil. Colton was a contestant on Becca's season of The Bachelorette. He was eliminated in week 8, wasn't one of the top players. The truly impressive thing that I think he did was that he went on Bachelor in Paradise as essentially an audition to become The Bachelor. So he was Bachelorette, Bachelor in Paradise, and then was The Bachelor. He has the most Instagram followers of any person who was The Bachelor. He is the prototypical, I would say he is the male version of Hannah, the white, Christian, basic, goofy guy. Yeah, I think he has done a very impressive job in making himself relevant and making himself the Bachelor when, I don't know, I didn't think it was possible. He managed to remain seeming 4TRR even though he dumped, what's her face? Raven? Tia. Yes.
What?
That's the end.
The end is he dumped Tia? That's why he should be in the Hall of Fame?
He dumped Tia and he still managed to seem 4TRR enough to get picked as the Bachelor.
Mm-hmm.
He also was coming off the heels of Ari's Bachelor season. Terrible Bachelor. No one liked him. And then Colton, everyone loved him. And then he also was groundbreaking in his season of The Bachelor when he left the game to go pursue Cassie. I would say that is groundbreaking.
Yeah, I agree with you. But I do think he's made some missteps post-game in angering the producers. Going on NPR and saying that the producers manipulate the show and the players was not a good move, at least in terms of the beloved game. I'm not sure that he will be, even if he and Cassie have children. I don't know that they'll be let back into the family like other people are. I do think that they're perceived as outsiders by the producers now.
You don't think they would pay for their wedding?
No.
Wow.
I don't. Because the producers are nothing if not power crazy assholes who can never, ever be questioned or talked against. And Colton did all of that. He jumped the fucking fence. He was like, I don't want you to shoot me anymore. And then he went on fucking NPR and said, these producers are dickheads. I don't think they like each other anymore. I think he's been excommunicated from the game.
I don't think his play post his season was very strong. But I think until that point, it was very strong. He even said in that interview that he manipulated the producers during his season by giving them different lists of people he was interested in to try to get more time.
No, look, I agree with you. He's a strong player. I honestly wouldn't have that much of a problem putting him on this ballot. My player that I was going to submit, my final one, is Wells Adams.
Well, that I can get on board with.
Season 12 of The Bachelorette. This was JoJo's season. He was season 3 of Bachelor in Paradise. Then he just fucking snaked his way right into taking Jorge Moreno's job as the bartender of Paradise, which he's done for the past 3 seasons, and he's still going strong. And now he's fucking engaged to or married to Sarah Hyland, a legit fucking celebrity with a huge Instagram following and fuckloads of money. That guy never has to work again. Like, he did it.
Yes.
And I think he's being groomed to be the next Chris Harrison. I truly think we're going to see him become a fixture of the Bachelor franchise for the rest of his life, or for the rest of, you know, until he ages out.
I just think he's too old to pick as the next Chris. I feel like they have to pick someone younger.
No, because you need some fatherly authority. You have to have that for the Chris Harrison role. There is this patriarchal, kneel before me, do as I say, I control the game. Whoever plays the Chris Harrison role has to be able to convey that. And
to me,
I think
someone like Sean Lowe seems more likely for that role. But
Sean Lowe is too dull. He's just a dipshit and dull. You know, no one wants to see him asking like virgins when they're going to fuck. Chris Harrison has that ability to be dirty and smarmy and a little evil. And you need that in the Bachelor host. If it can't be just like face value, everything's great and I'm a good Christian. It cannot be that. There's got to be that ability to go into the humor at the player's expense, which Sean Lowe does not have. Wells has it. We've already seen it when he helped coin scallop fingers, when he makes fun of players, when he did the thing where he pretended to be someone's vagina. We've already seen him wield the ability to comedically insult players.
They're going to want to pick someone who can be in it for the long haul, and I don't think they'll pick someone so close to Chris Harrison's age.
So close to Chris Harrison. How old do you think Chris Harrison is, and how old do you think Wells is? Let me just ask that question quickly.
I think Chris Harrison is timeless. Praise be Lord Harrison.
But how many years do you think he spent roaming the earth? Let me ask you that.
50?
Alexa, how old
is... It's unplugged.
Oh, you unplugged it.
Well, I'll look it up. 48. Good call, Liz.
And how old is Wells?
He was born in 1984.
34, 35?
35. I think you want a younger man.
I don't think you do. Because you need him to be beyond the game. You don't ever want Chris Harrison to feel like he might be competing with some of the players to fuck these girls.
Yeah, I guess if you put him in that bartender role, it is like neutralizing him. Mm-hmm. Although that one girl did try to date him while he was the bartender.
So anyway, we have some decisions to make here. We have Wells Adams, Chris Bukowski, Alex Michelle.
I think I'm
versus...
never going to agree with you on Chris Bukowski, so I think we should cut him.
Okay, since you gave me Demi, I'll give you Colton and remove
Chris. Over Sean Lowe?
Huh?
Colton or Sean Lowe?
Colton, I think, is a valid player to be added here. So I'm going to give you Colton, and I will remove Chris Bukowski. So now we have...
Great.
Well, I still have Wells and Alex Michelle, and you still have Sean Lowe and Brad Womack.
I'm more willing to sacrifice Brad than Sean.
And I am more willing to sacrifice Wells than Alex Michelle. So you get Sean, I get Alex.
Sean and Alex.
So it's Nick Viall, Alex Michelle, Tyler Cameron, Sean Lowe, and
Colton
Underwood.
Do we feel happy with that?
Yeah, I'm good with that.
All right.
So let's break it down. We now have
what a great debate.
Top 10 players up for voting for the inaugural induction into the Game of Roses official. Again, this is the official Bachelor Hall of Fame. Any other Hall of Fames you see out there
are
fake. They don't exist. It is bullshit. This is the real one. This is the historical one. This is the record that matters. So those 10 players are, ladies first, Caitlin Bristow, Hannah Brown, Demi Burnett, Trista Sutter, Ashley Iaconetti. And our top five men are Nick Vial, Alex Michelle, Tyler Cameron, Colton Underwood, and Sean Lowe.
Gorgeous list.
It's a pretty good list. Mm-hmm. I feel pretty comfortable with that. So we're asking all you guys out there, everybody who listens and loves our beloved game as much as we do, or hates it as much as we do, either way, cast your votes. Just put it in the comments under this post.
You can only vote for three.
Yeah, put your top three.
That includes both genders. So you Correct. Get to pick three out of the 10.
We will tally these votes. You have 1 week. 7 days from now, the voting ends. And then we will release the results and have our first fucking induction into the official Bachelor Hall of Fame.
Can't wait.
Next week. And then stick around because shit's about to get crazy. Our next season of White Peter is about to begin. I think ABC is going to release the players to us here in the next week or so. And we're going to be doing an in-depth review of all 30 of our new players, making predictions on who we think is going to win the ring, who we think is going to win the crown, who we think is going to make it the furthest for non-white players, and just what we can come to expect this season from what we know about them from their Instagram accounts and other social media.
Yeah, that'll be our next episode. Thank you for listening to this debate. I think it was very informative and powerful.
It's very powerful. It's going to change lives. I'm starting to get that like bitter anxiety and dread at the promise of the next season coming up. I'm starting to get that darkness dragging me down feeling. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do know what you mean. I feel it every winter.
Yeah, it's gross. It feels bad, but we have to press forward. So thanks again for listening, everybody. And we will look forward to your votes.
Please rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. Tell a friend about the podcast. And yeah, vote for your top three on the Game of Roses Instagram, GameOfRoses, for your votes to count. Praise be Lord Harrison.